Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
10 of the last 12 points to Lee Chong Wei. Oh, that's a good backhand.
There's just something about badminton that excites and unites Malaysians. It doesn't matter what race you are, what religion you practice, or even how old you are. If you're Malaysian, you probably love badminton. And for one young man, this love for badminton has shaped his life. From a state player to a coach and now a commentator for the sport, Samuel Nason talks to us about everything badminton and what Malaysia needs to get back to the very top of the game.
Bana, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome to another episode of Bar None, your weekly dose of all things sport. Good morning there, I'm Audrey Raj, flying solo this week. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday. This week, we're talking to a young man crazed about badminton. Okay, I know what you're thinking, Malaysians sure love their badminton, but some, you must admit, love it more than others. There's something about badminton that just runs through our veins. I'm sure each and every one of you out there, if you grew up somewhere in Malaysia, have picked up a badminton racket at some point of your life and have fond memories of flying shuttlecocks over perhaps your neighbor's front gate, the roof of your house, or actual badminton court nets. For one young man, badminton has shaped his life journey and career. Samuel Nason was introduced to badminton like most of us as a child, but his love for the sport drove him to become a state player for Selangor, a local badminton league coach, and more recently, a commentator for the sport in the global arena. He talks to us about his love for the sport and what Malaysia needs to get back to the very top of the game.
A very warm welcome to the 2016 BWF Thomas and Uber Cup Finals happening here in Kunshan, China. We're in match day 6. Semi-finals day featuring Malaysia and South Korea. Okay. Is that good?
Yeah, that was awesome. An insight into the life of a sports commentator. Great. All right, so Samuel, welcome to the show. Can I just get you to introduce yourself for the record and what you do?
Hi, I'm Samuel Nason and I'm 27 years old. I currently serve as a youth pastor in Pantai Baptist Church. One of the things I love doing most is badminton.
Great. So, Samuel, I hear that you are a former Selangor State badminton player, but tell me, how did you get started in badminton? How young were you when you first picked up a racket?
It was my 9th birthday. I can still remember the day. My dad gave it a badminton racket to me as a present for my birthday. Of course, the reason he wanted to do that is I was an only child. He didn't want me to play some of the more rougher sports such as football, you know, where the possibility of you being injured is quite high. Yeah. So he wanted a safer sport, and badminton was the sport he chose for me. So I picked up a racket for the first time on my 9th birthday. From there, that's where it all began.
So how did you pick up the skills to one day become a state player?
My dad is a pastor. He used to spend the evenings trying to coach me with the little badminton skills that he had try to teach me the game. So that actually the main reason I even started playing was so that I don't embarrass myself when I start playing with other people. That's how it started out, actually, just so that I don't get people laughing at me. But eventually I got an interest in the game, and eventually when I started beating him, he realized he needed to get other coaches to coach me, and that's where it began.
Okay, did you play for school?
Yes, I began playing at 9. When I was about 10 years old, I began taking coaching lessons from a former national player who was training in my school. And I can't remember her name though, unfortunately, but yeah, she was good, and I picked up a few tips from her and then changed coaches from there. And I think I was 11 years old when I started playing for my school.
Samuel Nason's love affair with badminton would see him fight his way into the Selangor state team, while most young boys his age were happy just kicking a ball about or playing video games. Samuel, however, insists the sacrifices he made in those early years when he was trying to up his skills on the court was worth every minute of his youth.
To enter the Selangor team, what you need to do is you need to play in the Selangor Close. They used to have this annual tournament, you know, the Selangor Close. It was based on age group, under 12, under 15, under 18, even had under 10. So the first time I played, I believe I was 10 years old when I first played. And the first opponent I had in the first round was the son of Misbun Siddiq, Misbun Shawal. I still remember that game with him. I lost in the first round, went all the way to the rubber set. But that actually kind of like sparked my interest. You know, I wanted to go. I felt that I almost beat him and I wanted to go at him. And I trained hard. The next year, I was 11 years old that time. I made it all the way to the semifinals in the Selangor Close. So that's when I got spotted and got chosen to participate in the rankings, in the selections. And it was only after that that they put me into the main squad.
So what would you say was the highlight of your time with the Selangor State team?
The highlight of it, again, I didn't do that much as a player. I didn't create upsets and all that. But of course, representing Selangor in the National Junior Circuit back in the day, that was the big thing. That was the thing that we wanted most. And of course, then I quit. I stopped training for a little while. And then when I was older, as an independent player, again, representing Selangor in the circuits as well. I think the highlight of that was playing Liu Darren. That was 2012, 4 years ago in the Selangor Open. That was the year, of course, where he was top 10 in the world. He won the French Open Super Series that year as well. So that was really the highlight, playing with him and getting an opportunity to match him.
Other than Liu Darren, you know, any other big guns that you've played against that have helped you develop in the sport?
Well, I used to play with Tan Boon Hyeong in training. We trained together. I've beaten Zulfadli Zulkifli many times. Zulfadli Zulkifli, of course, the former world junior champion who managed to take a game off Lin Dan in the Indonesian Open. So played with him a few times, beaten him. We trained together, and quite a number of names as well, just too many to recall at the moment.
From representing Selangor in the Junior and Division 1 circuits, Samuel was then presented with the opportunity to move into coaching. This move would prove fruitful for Samuel as he led his Kebong BC team to the Malaysian Purple League Champions Challenge Trophy last year.
I think very often people train to be good players. Mm. You don't really find cases of people training to be good coaches.
Yeah.
That's often by default if you fail to make it as a player very often. Not always the case though. There are good exceptions to it, fortunately. But what usually happens is when players don't make it into their badminton career, they tend to try and go into coaching to kind of make up or to try and show other players to do what they felt they could have done in their playing careers as well. So I think that's how my interest came in coaching. I didn't do much, as I mentioned earlier, in my playing career. So what I did is I tried to coach people, and eventually it landed me into the Purple League.
So how did that happen? I mean, you found yourself as the coach of KBC, who were then, in their debut season, champions of the Purple League Cup, right?
Yeah, it was the inaugural season of the Purple League. They were looking for managers, and the owner of Kebong BC actually approached me and asked me would I be keen to manage the club. And of course, I grabbed the offer. It was a great chance. And it all began from there. It was basically from scratch. I had to pick and choose 20 players, and some of them were big names.
And this is like from what age group? Did you have a...
No, it was open. It was an open age group. This is a professional league. We had, of course, certain criteria to pick from. For example, you had to pick a player who could play at national or international level, because this was going to be a big league. They anticipated the likes of Lin Dan and Lee Chong Wei appearing in the Purple League as well in that inaugural season. Of course, that didn't quite materialize, but that was the plan for it. And the players we had to choose were some big names, and I think I managed to get some big names into the club.
And I think I was watching one of your YouTube interviews. You said that you managed to tap into some players before all the other coaches.
Yes.
You know, you had the first pick. And how did you manage that? Was that a strategy?
I think what happened is that this is full credit, of course, to the owner of Kebong BC. She actually got me to work for the club. So immediately when I got in, again, it was the excitement and all that of being involved in something as big as this. First thing I wanted to do was to go and find my friends who I knew in the national team as well. So I looked for some of them. Tan Boon Hyeong, as I mentioned, was one of the main players who featured for Kebong BC. I've got this guy and a few others as well, and I asked them, you know, I need players. Who do you recommend? And we spoke, we had a discussion with it. Tan Boon Hyeong was a great help to me. Lim Min Lu in particular, our national mixed doubles player, was a significant, really huge help. Together we pulled the team, and most of the time what happened was when I went to players such as Ti Jingyi, our current national number one women singles player, I go to her and I ask her, would you like to play for my club in the Purple League? And they ask me, what's that? So they didn't hear of the Purple League yet.
The Malaysian Purple League, of course, is an initiative by Datuk Jack Koh to raise new badminton talent in Malaysia. Its purpose is mainly to give Malaysian junior players the opportunity to spar with the world's best in a local setting. Samuel says he was fortunate to be part of Kepong BC's debut season in the league, as it boasted many notable local and foreign names and some really encouraging upcoming talent.
The dynamics of it was quite exciting. Of course, when we had a lot of big names, as I said, playing for us. And one of the things that I did was I tried to find the best in each category. Didn't want to lose, to anyone. So I in the women's singles, of course, I got Ti Jingyi, Malaysia's number one. The whole goal of the Purple League was to get Malaysian players involved. So what I did is I tried to find the best. In women's singles, I got Ti Jingyi, as I mentioned. In men's singles, I couldn't get Dato' Lee Chong Wei due to ranking. We had certain ranking requirements. So I got the next best player, which was Chong Wei Feng. Got him to play for our team as well. In the men's doubles, we got the legendary doubles player, Tan Boon Hyeong, to play for us as well. So these were the big names we managed to get. Even in the mixed doubles at that time, we got the Malaysian number two pairing of Lim Min Lu and Ong Jian Goh. So we tried to find the best in each category and put them in. In terms of the international players, we've got former world number one mixed doubles pairing Hendra Gunawan and Vita Marisa involved. We've got Andre Adistia from Indonesia as well. So we got kind of a solid pairing. And going into the Purple League, I think what Kepong did is they got the fans really excited. It was one of the noisiest fan groups in the Purple League. They came with their kompangs and whatnot. So it was quite exciting. The noise was there. You really felt the energy, especially when Kepong was playing.
After winning the Malaysian Purple League Champions Challenge with Kepong BC, Samuel moved on to manage Nusa Jaya BC in 2015. He quit the team when it was top of the table in the Junior League to focus on his pastoral duties at Pantai Baptist Church. Samuel now continues to be involved in badminton behind the microphone as, you guessed it, a sports commentator. You may have most recently heard him on Astro, commentating for the 2016 Thomas and Uber Cup in China. So Samuel, as a former player, a coach, and someone who loves badminton through and through, could you tell me what, in your opinion, makes a great shuttler? If you could name five must-have skills.
Five must-have skills. Again, a lot of things. That's really a difficult question because a lot of things in badminton really depends on the coach you have. And it actually depends on a lot of things. For example, having the right physique is one of the things as well. And you can't train physique. You either have it or you don't. And that's why we see some of the hardest smashers in the world, such as Tan Boon Hyeong, Fu Haifeng. They have the physique to be able to play that way. They are left-handers. And somehow that gives a little bit more edge. I know some people think there's no difference to it. I think there's a slight difference. Left-handers seem to have more edge in their smashers. And, of course, a lot of other things as well. For example, we have Go Jin Wei right now, Malaysia's young and junior upcoming women's singles player. She's doing really well competing against the top in the world. We saw her took two-time world champion Carolina Marin all the way to the rubber set in the Uber Cup clash between Malaysia and Spain. But my real concern for her at this moment is really her physique. She hasn't quite grown to her full potential yet, and she's working really hard. And if I fear, you know, and God forbid, but if it goes on this way, you know, she really can be in risk of a lot of injuries moving forward because the body hasn't quite matured. She doesn't have the physique. She's pushing herself really hard at the moment. So I think to answer your question, the first thing you need is physique. You need to have the physique to be able to do it. I think you need to have a good coach. Unfortunately, with this area, a lot of people think a good coach is a coach that pushes you. Not necessarily. I think that some of the best coach, arguably, that Malaysia has ever had in the men's singles is Lee Mau, the coach that really propelled Dato' Lee Chong Wei to the ranking that he is. Of course, Miss Boon did his part as well. But Lee Mau, the difference between him and some of the other coaches is that he doesn't really push the players physically that hard. He's always trying to see, what can I give them? For example, he focuses more on the skill aspect of the game. So in that sense, the players really learn to master certain skills as opposed to trying to outwork and to outforce, you know, to kind of force their way in. And I think that was a very smart approach. And we see that still in Lee Chong Wei's game today when he plays in the Thomas Cup. You see him moving with ease. And that's the reason I believe that Dato' Lee Chong Wei has lasted so long in the international scene. We've seen other players who work very hard. They don't quite last as long as him because of the way he moves, very relaxed, taking it easy.
I think it was Lee Chong Wei playing against Song Wan Ho where we were watching, and I agree with you about his economical sort of style. He's still 118 and 15, but he never really got into that sort of explosive sort of injection of pace that he's so well known for.
No.
It's all very measured.
It's well played.
Precision from Lee Chong Wei, and he has the advantage on a run of four straight points.
Before we go, I mean, do you feel we are developing our badminton talent in Malaysia sufficiently? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, diet, facilities, our coaches, and a proper succession plan. Is there life after Dato' Lee Chong Wei?
I don't think the world is going to see another Dato' Lee Chong Wei for a very long time, let alone Malaysia. We're not going to see the likes of Lin Dan and Lee Chong Wei. Chen Long is an excellent player, but he's nowhere near the quality of Lin Dan and Lee Chong Wei. This is going to be the end of a very great era for Malaysian badminton and also international badminton. And I think the reason is because these players were not just skillful. They were good in every area. They were fit. They were relaxed. They were fast. They were what all the qualities you need. These guys had it. They had almost no weaknesses, and you're not going to find that a lot. You're not going to find that very quickly. So I think with regards to the Malaysian scene, what we're going to do is we're going to try to raise players. At the moment, the backup shuttlers in Malaysia are nowhere near what we would have hoped for them to be. Of course, Iskandar is showing a little bit of hope every now and again. Zulfatli, of course. But not the kind of consistency we saw back in 2002 when we had the likes of Roslin Hashim, Hafiz Hashim, Lee Suan Singh, and Wong Chun Han, Ong Yu Hock, and so many players. You didn't even know. James Chua won the Malaysian Open that year, and he didn't even get to feature in the Thomas Cup. That was the amount of players we had in the pool. But we don't have that right now. But that's the bad thing. The good thing is it can only get better. So we need a few more years before, you know, we start getting few players in the men's singles. But I think the future is quite good in men's doubles and also in women's singles, very promising with Goh Jin Wei coming up.
Do you have any advice for all those, you know, shuttlers out there playing in front of their house, you know, using their gates as a net? You know, how do they get noticed and how do they get to be the next Malaysian number one shuttler?
Well, I think one of the things they need to do is to first get a good coach. As I mentioned earlier, good coach is a must to becoming a good player. Coaches engineer players, and we see that in Penang especially, a lot of good coaches in Penang, and they are producing top players in the world. I think it's happening in Malaysia right now. They go beyond thinking that I can just play in front of the house and improve. Instead, their parents are starting to send their kids to coaching academies, and I think that's a good start. They need to get a good coach and work hard. Once a week training, twice a week training isn't quite going to do it. They have to work hard in training, maybe spend 4 or 5 times a week in training. I remember training 6 times a week when I was 12 years old as well. We trained really hard, and then you probably stand a chance to make the cut.
I've been speaking with former Selangor State shuttler, Malaysia Purple League team manager with Kepong BC, and most recently, badminton commentator for the Thomas and Uber Cup, Samuel Nason. For more interviews like this, visit our podcast at bfm.my/barnan or write to us with your suggestions for the show at barnan@bfm.my. Till next week, this is Audrey Raj for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.